What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know, it's been a minute since we've done anything DC related. You know?
When was the last DC thing?
Well, we definitely did Wonder Woman.
Who was the last DC movie?
Yes.
We didn't do Aquaman, I don't think.
The Suicide Squad, probably, what we did last?
Yes, that's right. The Suicide Squad. Because we did both of them, right? Yeah. Because Idris was in the Suicide Squad.
Idris was the lead of that squad.
Right.
All right.
That's how you know it's a sequel.
But the Suicide Squad movies are like definitely a part of the DCU, but they do feel a little bit to the side, right? I guess they're all
part of it now, because that's
I think that's
just part of the movies now.
Right.
Especially since James Gunn wrote it.
How fortuitous for them at the time, seemingly, you know, a big loss to go from, you know, I mean, Idris Elba's incredible, but to go from Will Smith to Idris Elba, and now it's like, great, we don't have to worry about Will Smith. Sadly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because those I did like the last one, The Suicide Squad. I haven't watched Aquaman 2.
I started watching that the other night.
I have. It was on HBO Max.
Yeah. Did you like it?
What?
No, I have been.
You know, it's like a big old Jason Momoa I don't know how to do this anymore.
It's so funny. I haven't watched it. I was going to watch it, but I actually went to HBO Max. I was like, oh, this would be something to watch. But I've been like obsessed with this Nickelodeon doc on HBO Max. It has been insane.
I'm nervous to watch it.
Never
watch it.
What is it? Why did you bring this up? Wait, we don't want to talk about this, right?
I mean, do we talk about topical things?
No, we don't. I'll just say, though, that we'll talk about it eventually. But I follow the accounts of the like producers and I follow most of the people that are interviewed in the doc. So I've been seeing, you know, I've been seeing stuff for years now. But I'm nervous about watching the full doc.
Also, producer Skyler just told us that Black Adam was actually the most recent DC movie we reviewed.
Yeah, but who remembers?
Black Adam.
Who remembers Black Adam?
Oh my gosh.
I do. Oh. It's just you know, Black Adam had, again, unfortunately, they're just like, we're kind of done with this character. Also, we had this Superman cameo. He's not coming back, so, you know. That's how DC goes, you know? It's just like one day.
I just remembered that.
It's
now I'm
here,
mad again.
One day it's gone, and then who knows? Maybe it can come right back out of the Blue Beetle.
Okay.
No, don't give them any props for that.
You know, like sometimes they just randomly bring characters back and you're like, whoa, that was out of the Blue Beetle.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Great. Do we just say start the show? This is the Patreon. Yeah. Do we?
No. This isn't Patreon.
No, this is real. This is a real one.
Oh God.
This is for everyone to hear and everyone to listen to. You're welcome. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say? You know what
it is. Black men can jump.
Black actors, man.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
I don't remember a quote.
Wow.
I mean,
I just
went for it.
Sometimes
I thought my computer froze. I was like,
you didn't go for it. That's the
oh man.
I didn't remember it.
Freaking hilarious.
I was trying to remember. I'll tell you the one that I wanted to say though, but I just couldn't remember it. I couldn't remember what the Beatles said in Spanish when they finally linked. Cause that shit was cold. when they finally link and she says whatever she says in Spanish.
Here's a quote. Here's a quote. You are the Blue Beetle. You're a superhero, cabrón. That's apparently a quote.
That's the quote.
Yes.
That's the quote.
That was good. That was a good one. That's a good quote too.
I like it better when James does the quotes. That quote was a little.
I just couldn't remember it.
There's also, is that the new Tamagotchi? Which, that ad lib is so old.
Yeah, definitely dates it.
But honestly, respect.
Makes sense for that character.
It makes sense. It does. George Lopez.
Because he's so off the grid.
I thought George Lopez did a good job. I know in real life he's a little different.
He was
different,
great.
But yeah, I thought he was good.
For those of you listening for the first time, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood. We are a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors, but also actors of color, and also sometimes just popular movies with Black actors in them. That's what we do now. We want to review movies you guys are watching, but we review them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And if you're wondering, because there are three of us, and you are going to hear three distinct voices, and you might want to know who is who.
So, no one ever does.
No, some people. You know, the voice you're listening to
I mean, some people might.
That sounds like you know, just a regular guy who is suddenly given super tech. So that he can save his hometown? A voice that sounds like that?
Sounds like, what is that? Do you want to do it over? Like, what is that?
All right. I don't know what that is. This is Jonathan Braylock. I'm Jonathan Braylock.
Wow, man. That was crazy. This is Gerard Milligan.
And this voice is James the Third.
Yeah, he won't sound like that for the rest of the podcast, but... Technically, that was him.
Yeah.
All right.
He
might jump in and out of it. Who knows?
This week, we're reviewing Blue Beetle. It's based off the DC comic hero, Blue Beetle.
Yes.
It came out in 2023. It stars Xolo Mary Duena.
Yes.
Yeah, Xolo Mary Duena.
George Lopez is also in the film. As well as some other great actors.
Becky G. Becky G is the voice. My favorite Yellow Ranger.
That's Becky G?
That's Becky G, dog.
That was Becky G.
Yeah, that's Becky G. Also, you know, Bruna was so gorgeous. I was like, I had to look up her music after I watched this movie.
Oh, she's a musician?
She's a musician.
Okay.
After this, I definitely looked up her and Shiloh.
This film has a 78% on Rotten Tomatoes, certified fresh, 91% audience score, and it made $130 million worldwide at the box office. Reported budget somewhere between $104 to $125 million. So, you know,
okay.
not a big success. There's definitely been bigger bombs. It's not like this is like, I feel like DC, this is what DC does.
This came out during the strike too, though. So they weren't able to promote
it. Sure. Sure. You know, yes, that is true. I'm, you know, questionable.
I think it would have made more. I feel you like you would have had more of like a, I feel like you would have had more of a cultural support for this movie. Like our friend Danny was talking about how like nobody could talk about it. Like it, mm-hmm. you know, like they, as a matter of fact, I remember even at the time when they couldn't talk about it, how they were kind of promoting it was like, it was either Shiloh's or Bruna's birthday. And you would just see them like partying. And every now and then you may see like, you know, a poster in the background. Cause like you couldn't physically promote the movie, which sucked. What happened to like a lot of like BIPOC movies last summer? It was like all of our movies came out and we didn't get the Barbenheimer treatment where they were like, let's rush these fucking PR moves. So I think it would, I can't say it would have made a lot, but I do think they would have made a little bit more though. I really, really do.
Yeah. Yeah. Very probable. What else is there to say about the, it's a classic superhero film. It's about a young, man, he stumbles upon a blue scarab that is essentially ancient alien tech that also has a mind of its own. It bonds with him, and there are, you know, rogue government agents after the scarab, and they try to take it from him. And he's also, you know, trying to protect and save his family. And himself. And yeah, that's what we got. You know, they say time waits for no one. And neither should payday. To keep your money moving in the direction of your dreams, get Earnin'.
Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
Listen, you know, when you get Earnin', you can have a little special night out. You can go to the movies. That's what I would do with some of the money I got from earning. You know, maybe just take myself, get a big popcorn, the extra large drink, some pretzies on this side. Can't go without the pretzies.
Yeah. Okay.
Need them pretzies. You know?
Maybe somebody invites you to the Oscars last minute. All of a sudden, you need a tux. you know? That happens to all of us.
Yeah. That's a common thing that happens to everybody.
Listen, download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store.
When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under podcast.
Subject to your available earnings, locations, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have. But it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate when you're not working.
It's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know?
I got the shakes. And you know, the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009. And what are we in April? Soon to be May. And I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aide. And I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in, like
sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah. I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting mm-hmm. in certain situations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. For sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling, and I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Shall we begin with initial thoughts?
We must.
Yeah, I'll go. I like this movie. I liked it a lot. I liked the family dynamic, and it didn't feel... Well, I can compare superhero movies.
Sure can.
I liked the dynamic so much more in this movie than I did in Ms. Marvel. Like, I don't know why in, like, Ms. Marvel and the Marvels, that family dynamic, I felt like it felt forced, and I have no idea why this one felt so, like, natural, like... Everyone had a skill. Everyone like served a purpose. I feel like I learned a little bit more about like the grandmother at one point, like the dad was super connected to the family. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, George Lopez had a true purpose for being there. I just really enjoyed the family. And you know what it was too? It was like finally watching a person of color get to be Spider-Man, like in live action. That's what I kind of like. He wasn't cool, but kind of cool. Like, I don't know. He had a very Spider-Man-y vibe for me. And I thought the suit looked pretty cool. I thought the suit was a good adaptation. I thought there were a lot of things, like when it came to the cartoons and stuff they were watching, felt very culturally appropriate and relevant. Yeah, man, I just liked it. So
wait, and when you talk about the family dynamic, are you talking about like Ms. Marvel's family?
Yeah, like I felt when you watched the TV show, especially if you watched The Marvels, I just was, James heard me complain about this. I just was like, I don't understand why they're here in any way, shape, or form. I was like, I don't get it. But like literally at the opening of this, once you see the sister, I was like, by the end of this movie, everyone literally had a purpose in that family. Like every single person, even the grandma. And I was like, great. Yeah.
It's funny to say has had a purpose. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, but it means like something, they had something to do in the movie. Like
right. Yeah, and
in the Marvels.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. That's it.
Well, I was going to say in the Marvels, they are, you know, they're removed from their home. And so they're just going along for the ride. And it's just like, there's this family here that we have to like deal with.
Got it.
But in right. Blue Beetle, the family is like, they're integral to like what's happening and providing input and helping push the story along at times.
And it's harder because with the Marvels, it's like almost like a Captain Marvel sequel, and so like there's also the other Captain. I forgot the other Captain.
I didn't like the TV show either version of him. So
okay. I haven't seen the TV.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Right. Either. Yeah, you didn't like. Yeah, got you it. Didn't like them on TV.
Listen, man, I'm becoming a toxic fan. I'm like, listen, I always want diversity in superhero movies, but when I feel like. Okay, never mind. Let me get off the soapbox. I'm not down by the sword.
What our podcast is for.
Yeah, it's okay, never mind.
Wait, what? Does it have anything to do?
Gerard having the conversation with himself.
I haven't seen Ms. Marvel, the TV show. Does that have anything?
Oh, the series.
Do you feel like the family was forced in?
No, so the thing is, they okay. You know what it is? I think the difference between me and these two movies is, again, I felt like I was learning about two different cultures and watching both of these movies, whereas one felt more naturalistic versus like, we got to talk, like, this is a diverse superhero. We got to talk about the culture. Whereas like this movie, it felt like there were certain things that you would see in the background, certain things on TV they were watching, certain songs they would mention, certain things like, the grandma would say, or George Lopez would say, or the dad would say, and it wouldn't be like, I have to fully explain what this is to like everyone. And it also didn't feel like we have to stop down to talk about why we're watching this cartoon that is like something that you would see normally in like, you know, Spanish speaking. It just felt natural. It felt like human to me.
And you don't think that had anything to do with the fact that the other movie had to like share time with these other things? Like,
I mean,
no, because he's talking about the show also.
Yeah. So the show to me, I don't know. And maybe it's just a personal thing. It's like, if I'm watching something with a bunch of black people, I don't need someone to stop every 5 seconds and be like, hey, this cartoon, this TV show they're watching, this Kenan and Kale, that was a big black state. I don't need someone to talk about it. It's just on in the background because it's set in the fucking 90s. You know what I'm saying? It's like, they're just existing.
I appreciate the respect, though. Like, I appreciate the moment to give Kenan and Kel its due.
It's there. Anyway, that's me.
You're not wrong.
All right. Do you want to go, James? Or you want me to go?
I can go, yeah. I also had a great time in the theater. I think I already said this on the pod that I went. I was dressed up. I was wearing blue. You know, I wore a blue suit jacket.
That's cute. That's cute. Top,
you know what I'm saying? The blue Converses, you know what I'm saying? I was showing up for Blue Beetle, you know? And I truly had a great time. I will say my one like superhero fatigue thing about this was, and I think Drew has a good point that this was like, oh, finally we got to see like a person of color in the Spider-Man role. I did kind of leave going like, or not leave. There was the part when he like first gets the suit and like all that and all the like surprise stuff of like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Blah, blah. And I had the thought like, I don't know how many more times I can see somebody go, whoa, no, I'm flying.
Yeah,
like, I don't know how many more times I got that in me. But this really felt like it was weird because it had like all the like modern special effects, but it felt like a 90s superhero origin story. And that I thought was great. Like I thought, like in the best way, it really just felt like I was getting to know, you know, this new superhero, and you know, we were hitting all the beats. And I love how like unapologetically they're just like, yeah, this has to do with colonialism, and this has to do with that, and the third, like they were just like they just went for it, like balls to the wall, all of that stuff. I thought Sholo was great. I think he's great. I love Cobra Kai. I loved him in Parenthood. I've you know, been watching his career for a while. Enjoy him. And, you know, I don't know if I think Blue Beetle's future in the DCEU or whatever it's called now.
I think he's staying.
Is uncertain? You think he's staying? Okay.
I think he's staying.
I hope that they do, you know, bring him, you know, keep him around because it was fun. It truly was fun. And this journey was one that I felt like was compelling and interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely like this movie. Look, if you've listened to our podcast, you know, I'm burnt out on superhero movies. It's harder and harder to watch them. I felt that way about Aquaman. I did watch that. There are some that I still haven't finished watching the Marvels. I'm seeing them eventually, but I have no desire to. They feel kind of like homework at this point, and it's even harder to get excited, you know. And I feel bad, like generally, you know, just for those who have listened to our podcast, we sometimes like to bring on guests who have like a closer cultural, you know, relationship to films in which it's not starring Black actors. We weren't able to do that this time. So I think I'm curious to know, you know, fans who listen, like, were people excited about this? Because, like, Tommy Reyes is like, I do here. This is what I will say. I watched the Young Justice TV show. And so, like, I like his character in that. Like, that's a good show. And Blue Beetle is like a big character in that, especially like the later seasons. And I do, you know, it's like an interesting, fun character, especially because the Scarab itself is like its own thing. It's similar, I guess, to the Marvel, what do you call it? The Oscar Isaac one.
Moon Knight.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I thought this film did like a good job of that. I love like Cholo. He was really great. Like, I feel like I'm excited to see more of him. The movie itself, because I didn't have that cultural connection to you, it wasn't anything special for me. Like, there were, like, I thought George Lopez was really funny and he added a nice thing, but it's like the I'm just so used to superhero stories. So like, it is kind of like, you know, at a certain point we're like, oh, you know. And then also like with the universe stuff, which this doesn't really have a big amount of, which is good, but like, it's always in the background. And I'm always just thinking about like, oh, like this is like the lesser superhero. And like, what do we have to, anyway. Mm-hmm. Oh, also the guy from, what's his name? Harvey Gillian, is that him?
Yeah.
From What We Do in the Shadows?
From What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows. Yeah.
Yes, oh, yes, man. Yes.
He was so funny. He's great.
Susan Sarandon.
Susan Sarandon's in this as well.
Yo, Susan Sarandon, she was acting her ass off in this.
She really was.
Chewing up scenery. She was.
She was going ham. I will say, like, as a larger point, I do feel kind of sad that like we're getting all these movies, like superhero movies with like POCs in the lead, but because they've come, because it's been so long and there's been so many superhero movies that came out, it's like they're not doing well. And like people are like, I feel like people can be like, see, it's because like there's POC leads instead of being like, no, it's because it's the freaking 57th superhero film that's come out in the last 15 years. You know, like audiences are tired of this. And like now you're giving it to the POCs. Like now that we've already had so many films and sequels after sequel and, you know, world building and re-world build. Like, so there's a little bit of sadness that comes with that. Cause I think, I imagine these actors, when they get book these jobs, it feels like such a huge deal. And I could imagine there's a little bit of a deflation when they don't do super well at the box office. And it's like, is this movie going to get a sequel? I don't know. Like, probably not. Maybe it will. Who knows? But it's just like, I don't know. I kind of feel for them. So that said, it's still huge. I mean, you know, I'm still happy that they're making them, I guess, in a sense. So yeah, I don't. That's my initial thoughts. That's a lot of thoughts. But shall we talk through it?
Yeah, man. I mean, I just want to say, like,
yeah,
Chalo is so good because when it starts off, I don't know. I just think the dynamic between him and his, again, I just think his acting is really good in this because he doesn't play like a dummy. And I feel like there's also those times, like James kind of mentioned earlier, like I got a suit. What the fuck is happening? So it didn't feel necessarily like, oh, wow, this is so cool. It felt like, yo, what the fuck is this? I got too many problems to deal with. I don't want to deal with this. Like, literally, at one point, I felt like he was about to curse when he went straight up into space. And it's like, yo, that shit is scary and not fun.
Right.
Like, I like seeing when people are like, yo, no, I don't want this because this is a lot of responsibility. Spider-Man.
Well, also, it seems like the Scarab is like, feels like slightly hostile, right? Like, it's not like... It's not like, hi, you know, like, I'm here to make your life better. It's like, has its own agenda almost, and he has to just deal with it.
And so my thing is, like, if he was to hook up with somebody, is the Scarab there? Is that like a, Is that, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like it don't come off.
You're upstairs,
immediately,
man,
you know? What you jump to. Yeah, I guess so, right? It also looks gross.
Well, they even do it. There's a joke in the thing where in the movie where it's like, he wants to have sex with you, or like, you want to have, like, what, oh, yeah, the scarab says something, yeah, like, why, oh, why, right, is your dick getting hard? It's basically what the scarab says.
Oh, yeah.
Why is your dick getting hard?
Okay, it doesn't say, yeah, that, obviously, but yes.
It's basically just like
James,
saying,
James went with, it's the, like, super, the
hormones,
honesty.
The hormones are rising. Yeah, something like that. Wait, there was a moment, I mean, we're skipping over stuff, but there was a moment early on when he's like, he like, it like attaches to him and then he like takes it off and he's like, how is it? Does it look bad? And they're like, oh no. And then you look at it, it's like absolutely gross and disgusting. Yes. And they're just like, oh, yeah. It's like, yeah, it looks horrible.
Yeah. That was so funny.
Oh man.
Also, it was cool because it was like, it looked, they did a little body horror. It looked so painful when he had it. Like when the suit was, truly, like, it looked extremely painful. Also, I think I keep forgetting is that, like, he has an alien attached to him for the rest of his life. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, not fun. Yeah.
That alien is there for the rest of his life. And they're like, oh, if we take it off, you will die. Like, that's literally how this ends for this kid. Also, I'm sorry. I love this movie. But the plot point of, like, this woman just hands this random guy who spoke to her earlier, like, she knew the potential of what that thing was. Like, they couldn't prove it, but she knew the potential and she just handed it to like a college graduate in a box.
She had to give it to somebody. She told him not to touch it and she had to give it to somebody who was, you know, unassuming that nobody would look at. And who better to do that?
And somebody that she, well, just, it was also somebody she could trust because he, yeah.
She didn't know him, James.
He stood up to her. She stood up. He stood up to the, he like lost his job over her trying to stand up.
That is
for
true.
Her.
Yeah. Cause so in the beginning they're working. Well, the very, very beginning is like them digging up this scarab, right? And finding it.
Yeah.
And then like, they're trying to like test it and like figure out how it works. And that's where you get, I want to call, what's his character's name?
Oh, the mean guy. I loved his arc, though.
Oh, yeah.
Not you, but it was better than I thought.
He says his
movie.
Full name.
Dr. Sanchez. Dr. Sanchez. Yeah, Susan Sarandon is like playing like the most villainous villain.
Dude, she's like so utterly racist.
It's great.
Like, she's so rich and privileged. You know what it is? I didn't even feel like it was over the top either. I was like, yo, this feels right. Like, I was like, this feels right.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
I
this,
think
this makes
I,
sense.
You know, it's giving, in terms of the intensity, it's giving Raul Julia in Street Fighter.
Ooh.
You know, like, she's like,
nice.
She's not yes, as, yes, as boisterous. But you know what I mean? But it's like a kind of like quiet, like a quiet, just sternness. It's so great. It's so much fun.
Yeah. And so Jaime is essentially, he's, you know, graduated from college, comes back home. Everybody's like happy for him. But then he finds out that they're like about to be evicted from their home and they have no money. And he's like, oh, my God, it was a mistake for me to go to college. I can't even really get a job right away. And so like him and his sister are like working at Susan Sarandon's mansion. Victoria Cord is her character name.
Yes.
And yeah, like as Gerard mentioned, or James, like he stops this like confrontation that's happening between Victoria and Jenny, who's like her niece, like, in-law, I guess, right? And he just does that because he likes her. He's cute. And he like,
and
hey.
But he's a good, but also he's a good guy.
He's a good
guy at heart.
He's a good guy. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy. And yeah, so
she fires
them, of course. And then he goes back to like beg for his job back. Right?
I don't know what
no,
he, I think he was
says,
about, yeah, he was
well,
trying to go back and demand it or something, right?
Well, it's essentially that she like wants to, she like offer, she like gives her him his her card, or like they like exchange information or something like that. And so it's not that he's trying to get his same job back, but that he's like
trying to get a job,
trying to see what this can a job in the same, I mean, for the same people, but right. You know, but with through her recommendation.
But she's in the midst of a little heist, trying to steal that scarab, and then like get hands it to him. He takes it home, not knowing what it is, opens it up, and then it attaches to him, and we get this crazy scene where he's like flying around the house and literally rips a hole in it.
That scene was great. Because it was like everybody was just so scared. No, but that stuff was cool. I thought once what's the younger Cord's name?
Jenny.
Once Jenny gets there and we're kind of off to the races, and you know, we see him, Jaime finally trying to use the suit, and when he has to first have his first battle with what's our bad guy's name?
Victoria.
The guy, the henchman.
Ignacio.
Yeah, I was like, yo, that fight was pretty cool. Also, what's so funny is I genuinely really, really liked George Lopez in this, like, the entire time. Like, I loved that he had inventions. I loved that he, like, you know what it is? I just loved that the family was on board immediately. Not like nobody was cool with it, but it was like, we didn't have to go through that thing of like there's so many times it's like wasting to see like, does the family believe you? Do I hide it from the family? Like, blah, blah, blah. The fact that it happened in the living room with them, like everyone's immediately on the same page and we can just have fun. You know what I mean?
Like, they're also immediately in danger too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it looked like, and I'm pretty sure this is purposeful, but like when the bad guys run up on the house, it had that eerie feeling of like, I mean, y'all remember during the Trump era, the first Trump era, not the upcoming reboot, but like when we had all those videos of ICE running up on people and like running up on houses and stuff, I was like, oh man, it felt so reminiscent of those like videos that it felt so scary. And even like the stuff with the family, the stuff with the dad, broke my heart. It broke my heart.
Yeah. Yeah, how did you like this fight between, because he basically has, they're like trying to like recreate the tech from this, you know, scarab, like the alien technology, right? And like use it, and like, so Carapax, that's his, Ignacio Carapax, he's like, he has like the prototype infused to his body, and so they have this fight between them. And it's interesting because there's also like a whole storyline with Carapax guy of like, he keeps, his body keeps being used, and like she's clearly controlling him in some way. And then we get like this flashback, right, of him, like, what happened with him? I forgot. Like his, is it his family? Something.
He was a child soldier, right?
Right.
He basically became one after his, like after his dad or his family was killed, you know, right. She took him under her wing and then just basically made him a minion of hers, slave, basically. You know what I mean? Like, basically was enslaved immediately.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like literally has like child soldiers. Yeah. It was sad. I mean, there's really not a lot more to this, right? Like, cause it's like they have the battle, then she attacks their home, and then like while that's happening, like his dad has the heart attack and he dies. Ugh. And then he gets captured.
What a moment, man. What a moment.
Yeah, that was too much. That was too much.
And then he's taken to an island fortress, and he's like, and they're like extracting, like, or they're like downloading stuff, but like it hurts him, right? Like,
because they're trying to get the scarab off of him by like, yeah.
Well, are they trying to get the scarab off of him, or are they essentially draining the energy or life force, or, you know, from the scarab, like downloading the
got it.
The scarab? But because they are one and the same, it's like it just is draining him.
You know what? I will say this about this movie and this scene is that I think this, God,
Listen, before I say this, I want everybody to know that I grew up reading comics, okay? All right? So what I'm about to say is going to sound like a toxic white boy.
Oh, no.
But I got to say it.
Anytime somebody starts a sentence with, I grew up reading comics, you know.
Listen, I'm just saying. How this movie handles... No, let me say it, James. Let me say it. My point is that I think this movie, how it handled Jaime, his family, had a lot of nuance when it talked about how, like, Latinos are treated here in America. Whereas I feel like sometimes when you watch these movies and it's a person of color or it's like maybe a female-led superhero, it's like so on the nose where I'm like, oh no, in the actual story, the reason the bad guy's running up on their house is because they need to kidnap him and get the scarab. And so it may resemble ICE running up on a family. Like, you know, him going to an island may resemble being put away from your family and going to this place, because theoretically in the story, that works, because this person, as we established from the very beginning, had to be on this island to do all the dirty work they had to do. It's not just like, oh, you know, I'm black, all of a sudden I got to fight all the cops and they happen to all be white. That don't make no sense. Right. Or like, I'm a female superhero and everybody I got to fight is a man. It's like, that's not how the fucking world works. You know what I mean? It's like, you can have these really smart moments and just make it a part of the story if you just set the shit up right. So I was like, to see this, I remember watching it with a friend and she was like, oh, I know what this is. This reminds me of this. This reminds me of this. I'm like, I didn't even know that. I kind of could see some of it, but like the fact that you can relate to this in this kind of way and it doesn't feel like hitting you on the back of the head. I'm like, thank God. Yes. Creativity. Fucking smarts. Like everybody wasn't, if you even notice, this is my last point. When they run up on them, even when they're...
It feels like you're yelling at someone specifically.
No. It's like, I feel like I'm yelling to the superhero void where I'm like, I want diversity. And like Bray said earlier, it's like, there is this thing of like, we have had an overload and now the minorities are starting to get in their chance. And I'm like, no, but y'all keep fucking half-assing it. Just do a good movie. And like, when he goes to the island, he's not just fighting a bunch of white dudes. It's a bunch of people. You know what I'm saying? It's like people of all different races. Yeah, the big bad is this white lady because her family is rich white people. Like, it makes sense to the fucking story. It's so smart. And people are like, why this movie didn't do bad? It's like, it don't fucking make sense. Anyway, all right. I'm done. Okay. All right. Next thing you know, Static Shock gonna come out. He only gonna fight fucking... Let me stop. Okay, you know what?
Do you think that they're gonna mess up Static Shock? Both of you, deep sigh. Just a collective deep sigh.
Well, okay, now, wait. Now, are we moving on from Blue Beetle already? Okay.
How do you think they're doing in the comics right now?
The comics are great right now.
No, but it's related.
It is related. It's related.
Yeah. The comics are really good, I feel.
And Static Shock, question for you two, because you guys read comic books. I know Static Shock from the TV show. Was Static Shock a TV show before it was a comic book?
So he was, the TV show came first.
Comic book first.
No, okay. James, it was a TV show.
It was a TV show first.
No, the early milestone predates the TV show, doesn't it?
Oh, wait, let me look. I thought it was a cartoon first.
The early milestone comics?
They must be pretty close together, right?
Oh,
no,
wait.
You're right. Static.
Probably, but I would imagine.
No,
I would imagine,
no,
like
James is right. Static.
Years?
There was a Static comic. His first appearance, apparently, according to Wikipedia, was in 1993.
Oh, and a comic came out later?
93.
In a 3-page preview.
They're good, Giraffe. You haven't read those?
I haven't.
And the name was just called Static, and it was just Static.
That's when he had the hat on and shit? Little baseball cap?
They're good.
All right, I watched them, Jones.
Oh, yeah, the little baseball cap. That's exactly right. He looks so different.
I don't think they're going to mess it up. I think, like, I think finding that tone is going to be really important. But also, I do agree with Bray. Like, as a person who reads comics, I am exhausted. Like, I feel like they all feel the same. I feel like we need to just make them good movies. And what that means is, like, yo, if you hire, like, you know, Matt Reeves is like, yeah, let Matt Reeves just do his version of it. Like, don't let it fit into like somebody's wheelhouse. Just make a good movie. And then we worry about everything after
it's
that.
It's also like, there does need to be a little bit of like, hey guys, enough of these movies have been made. Like, we can fast forward some of this stuff. Like,
agreed.
We don't need agreed. This, like, this like basic story structure. Like, it feels like so elementary. And I sometimes when like people like us who watch movies all the time, sometimes we forget that not everyone has seen this many movies. And so things that are exciting to us because it feels fresh and innovative isn't necessarily exciting to other people. And like, there has to be that. That being said, I think most people have seen a comic book movie, and like very few people, except for young people, like very young people, is like Static Shock going to be the first comic book movie they ever see, right? And like, it's just kind of like, like the Suicide Squad, for instance, like I kind of liked that. And again, like it was, I don't even know what you call it. Was it a sequel? Was it a freaking remake? Who knows? But like, they did kind of go like, whatever, you guys get it. And they just jump into it. You know, I just feel like some of these movies that get to just jump into it are a little bit more fun than the ones that are like, let's do the whole, like, he's not going to get his powers until page 25, you know? And it's like, you know what I mean? Like, just start it. I don't care. I don't need to see an origin story like this again. I don't. Now, it's hard with Static Shock because they all get their powers at the same time. So it kind of feels like you do have to see it. But I'm almost like, I want to see it in like the first like 5 minutes. Get that huge explosion with all the kids there and they all got freaking powers. And it's just like, let's go. Anywho.
Or you see a video who like, or someone's watching the news and they're already in the hospital because the Big Bang happened. You know what I mean? Just do the thing.
Yeah.
Again, this movie wasn't bad.
I appreciate like those title sequences that when the title sequence, like it just explains all of the state of the world and like
give
the,
me a
everything
video.
That's happened. Like you see a couple like, you know, TikTok videos and then it's like, all right, well, here we are, you know, like.
Yeah, give me that montage, man. Get that done over. Like, I don't need that. Oh, they banned that mess up stuff.
Well, I like, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, we made our way through the movie pretty quick, but like, there was a lot of stuff in this that I loved. I loved the like, early on, I loved the like, Spanish covers of like, Be My Baby. And there was another one early on that I was just like, I love this. I was completely engrossed in it. I loved the way the like former Blue Beetle storyline was brought into it too. Yeah. Like that was, I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, Ted Lasso. And, that was Ted Lasso voice.
And how, and how the fact that it's like, oh, maybe they'll bring him back. Maybe he exists, you know?
Yeah.
I was into that.
Wait, guys, can I just do my rating real quick? I'm sorry. Just to make sure I get it in before I have the rest of this thing.
Oh, yeah, right, because you got to go.
I give it a black fist because all the acting was good. The special effects look good for a lower budget, which I guess is a lower budget nowadays. I just wish that it had more promotion, but I want to see a sequel, baby. I know none of his villains, but show me that sequel.
I wonder if we'll get a sequel. It's going to be tough.
I really want one.
Yeah.
I do too.
And you said that was Sudeikis?
That's Sudeikis. Yeah, that's Sudeikis' voice. Yeah.
Bring it back.
That's Sudeikis' voice.
Come on. That would be so fun. Oh, and I just want to say I also loved the journey of like what led to total symbiosis between him and the Beetle, of like needing to go, you know, to, you know, it's very, there's a lot of like, specifically Shang-Chi and Black Panther beats that happen in this movie for me. I mean, I know these are all like larger superhero kind of stories, but like the going to the, and essentially the ancestral plane scene that happens in this when he talks to his dad, like that was beautiful. I was like, right. I was hooked. So, and then, you know, the way that he and the Beetle, the way they embrace each other afterwards, the Beetle being bilingual and all that stuff. I was like, I was I was floored. I the whole third act of this movie was awesome.
Yeah. It was fun. I mean, like, I felt so bad for Harvey, for Dr. Sanchez when he died, because it feels like he was trying to do the right thing at a certain point.
Yeah, no, they fucked him over. My man had to the comedic death that was messed up.
Blue Beetle is fun because he has like cool powers, and Jaime is fun, like a fun hero. And like, it would be nice to see this in like another setting. Like, I also like, I don't know if they're going to do, I'm assuming they're going to want to try to do like a Young Justice League or Teen Titans or something. But yeah.
They're doing a live action Teen Titans. They just announced that.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah, they just announced that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it would be fun to see him in something like that. And yeah, I think they did a good job. Okay.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What should we just do? Should we do our ratings? We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not it helps the cause of leading Black actors or people of color in Hollywood. So if a film fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. If we feel like it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. So we'll do that. Our ratings here, Gerard gave a black fist, but James and I will do it on the count of three. One, two, three.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Very apprehensive.
I gave a very apprehensive black
very
fist.
Very apprehensive.
I'm not
black
convinced,
fist.
But I want to believe.
It was the money, right?
It was the money. It was the fact that this movie bombed, and I don't know, but I'm hoping that at least one of these actors, whether it be Cholo, Bruna, Becky G, you know, that somebody's gonna have some more to do.
I mean, Cholo's gonna keep doing Cobra Kai for as long as they're doing that.
Yeah, but we're talking about movies, James. This is a movie podcast.
That's not the same.
No, yeah. It's not.
I know it's a movie podcast.
Come on. Don't tell me he's gonna keep doing a television show. We want him to be starring in movies. Okay, he's got two upcoming things.
Okay.
One is just Cobra Kai. Okay, so that's not it. So Killing Castro, is this a film? Killing Castro is about Fidel Castro. This is like a movie. Okay, now he's just...
Who's he playing?
Okay, Al Pacino's in it. I don't think he's going to be the lead of this. Yeah, he's not. Okay, he's just in it. I don't know, man. I gave it a fist, but it's... I don't know if it actually deserves a fist. I don't know. I'm not sold. Anyway, three black fists.
But it's like the fact that this movie gets made.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the movie not doing well. There's all sorts of factors. It's sort of like, it's like if this movie were made 10 years ago, it helps the cause, right? Because 10 years ago, we aren't nearly as fatigued with superhero movies as we are now.
Right.
Right. This same movie, top to bottom, gets made 10 years ago. I guess it couldn't get made with Cholo because he would have been 11 at the time, but 13 or however 10 years ago was for him, 12.
Right.
But, you know, it's like that's what supports the cause, you know. The movie coming out now in this way, okay, it's not going to make as much money, but.
Yeah, but making money is what makes you, is what keeps the, you know? James, this is a big deal.
I know. It is, you're right.
Especially for these superhero movies, they cost so much money to make and promote. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. This was a shorter episode, but honestly, I like that. Short and sweet.
Short and sweet.
If you want to follow us, you can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We have links to merchandise. We sell t-shirts and stuff like that via TeePublic. And we also have a exclusive Patreon bonus episodes and Red Circle that we do every other week. So this podcast is free. We want to keep it free for you for as long as we possibly can. But in order to do that, we need our loyal listeners who have some extra cash to subscribe to our Patreon or Red Circles, where we will get a bonus episode every other week. Last week, we went over the Oscars. I happened to go to the Oscars live in person. It was insane. I was in the third row. I was sitting next to Willem Dafoe the entire night. So if you want to hear a little bit more about that and our recap of the Oscars.
It's truly absurd. It's absurd.
You can check that out. we've also done films like American Fiction and I believe Gran Turismo. And, you know, so like, and we'll keep doing films like that. So please subscribe if you can. Also, if you rate and review us on iTunes and give us 5 stars, we'll read your review on the air. You can follow me at John Braylock on Twitter and Instagram. you can follow Jarrah at Jarrah Milligan.
And you can follow me at Rule of Three Inc. or at Rule of Three Comics. I'm selling comics. 3 is the number 3. I have a Kickstarter that will be starting in just under a month. But you can follow it at my link tree. It's on all of my channels. So check those out.
Amazing. And this review comes from, let's see, Please Get It Information. It says, TP is awful. You all must review Mea Culpa. I need to hear your commentary. Listen, you know, maybe we will. It is a pile on at this point. But honestly, maybe we will.
Maybe we will.
You know, hey, Kelly, she was in one of my favorite scary movies, Freddy versus Jason. So why not?
Yes.
That's all. That's all from us. We will see you in 2 weeks. We're not sure what we're going to review, but honestly, sometimes we do polls on our, you know, Patreon. So if you ever want to influence what we review, you can write a review like this fantastic person did, or go to our Patreon and vote. Okay. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Peace.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!